There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you here. Another hour to work with, a couple hours to work with and hang out here. The phone number and the text line, if you don't know it by now, that's cool. We'll do it again. 343-0106. 343-0106 for calls and text. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can even use that microphone icon right there on our app to press it. Lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. All right, big day today, obviously, in international news. This is a, you know, to think about Trump saying a peace deal after 3,000 years in the Middle East, argue those dates there, but what would our news cycles be like? Think about that. You know, I'm 53, so, you know, kind of in my lifetime, a portion of national or international news is always going to have some element of the Middle East in it, right? It's like it flares up, it comes down, flares up. But, I mean, it's been ubiquitous in the news cycle my whole life. What would it be like if it's not, you know, it's like a trade deal's out of there or something? It would be something. Can this happen? I've said this before. I worry, but I'm hopeful. I'm glad something is done here. I worry how long it can last. Maybe it will last for a long, long time. It's been a long time coming. We'll see if we get this thing done. The deal to stick, I guess, is the part of it. Play some clips throughout the hour. I'll play this one here to start off with. So this is this earlier with President Trump. He was at the Knesset there, and that Israeli leadership talking about in the Knesset, the Gaza peace deal, and then they bring Trump up, and we'll get a few minutes of what he had to say earlier here. Let's go to cut two.
Frankly, people that love the...
Okay, there it is.
The state of Israel is about to reinvent itself. The challenges ahead demand not only strength, but a new vision. It's time to take a new path. To be a nation that is advanced and thriving and peace-seeking. We have waited for this moment, for the end of the war, for the return of the hostages, for the chance to rechannel our grief and loss into the energy needed to rebuild our nation. Thanks to you, Mr. President. Thanks to our soldiers, our lions. Thanks to the millions of great Israeli patriots who filled the streets and the square and never, not for one moment, gave up on the hostages. Thanks to all of them, the strength within us can now rise, succeed, and build for our future and for our children. Thank you very much. God bless the United States of America. Am Israel Chai.
Okay, so at this point, Trump's getting up here and going to speak a little bit about a deal that I would say is one to stand out. We talked last week, if this sticks, is this Nobel Peace Prize, Nobel Peace Prize material? Here's Trump to discuss the deal. The art of the deal, I guess you could say, in this one.
It's a great honor. Nice place. Very nice place. Mr. President, Mr. Prime Minister, Mr. Speaker, esteemed members of the Knesset and cherished citizens of Israel. We gather on a day of profound joy, of soaring hope, of renewed faith, and above all, a day to give our deepest thanks to the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. After two harrowing years in darkness and captivity, 20 courageous hostages are returning to the glorious embrace of their families, and it is glorious. 28 more precious loved ones are coming home at last to rest in this sacred soil for all of time. And after so many years of unceasing war and endless danger, today the skies are calm, the guns are silent, the sirens are still, and the sun rises on a holy land that is finally at peace, a land and a region that will live, God willing, in peace for all eternity. This is not only the end of a war, this is the end of an age of terror and death, and the beginning of the age of faith and hope and of God. It's the start of a grand concord and lasting harmony for Israel and all the nations of what will soon be a truly magnificent region. I believe that so strongly. This is the historic dawn of a new Middle East. I want to express my gratitude to a man of exceptional courage and patriotism, whose partnership did so much to make this momentous day possible. You know who I'm talking about. There's only one, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Bibi, please stand up. And he is not easy, I want to tell you. He's not the easiest guy to deal with. But that's what makes him great. That's what makes him great. Thank you very much, baby. Great job.
Did Trump just give Netanyahu a nice hustle?
Let me also convey my tremendous appreciation for all of the nations of the Arab and Muslim world that came together to press Hamas to set the hostages free and to send them home. We had a lot of help. We had a lot of help from a lot of people that you wouldn't suspect. And I want to thank them very much for that. It's an incredible triumph for Israel and the world to have all of these nations working together as partners in peace. And it's pretty unusual for you to see that, but it happened in this case. This was a very unusual point in time, a brilliant point in time. Generations from now, this will be remembered as the moment that everything began to change and change very much for the better. Like the USA right now, it will be the golden age of Israel and the golden age of the Middle East. It's going to work together. I'd like to thank several great American patriots for their invaluable help in getting something done that almost everyone thought was absolutely impossible. We were wasting our time. So many people said, you're just wasting your time. But we weren't, because we had talented people working with us, and we had people that loved your country and, frankly, people that loved the region. They loved the Middle East. I want to thank my friend Steve Witkoff. You know, Steve was chosen by me He never did this before, but I knew him as a few things. He was a great businessman, but I know a lot of great businessmen, to be honest with you. He had tremendous negotiating skills, but I know a lot of people that negotiate pretty well, although it is an art. But there are people that can negotiate pretty well. But most importantly with Steve, he's just a great guy. Everybody loved him. Everybody. I mean, I know some negotiators that are so good, but you wouldn't have had peace in the Middle East. You'd be, would be in World War III right now with some of these guys. Everybody loves Steve, and they respect him.
All right, so we get it, and it goes on here, but shout out to Whitcomb for all this. Did you think you'd see this happen? I pray it sticks. Hostages home, 2,000 Palestinians to be released.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1220, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and let's get the week started looking at that inventory, David.
Yeah, inventory, you know, we always talk about how good it is, and it can get, I can just, same thing over and over, but I'm telling you, we got a fantastic inventory. We got stuff coming in every day. We got quite a few cars we put on a list. I don't want to say old age inventory, but, you know, some stuff starts to get a little stale on you every once in a while, and so I gave the guys a list this morning, so we got some really good prices on a few things. You'll have to come out and check those out if you're interested. The financing, of course, will be better on them because we've reduced the price. So it's really a good opportunity for everybody.
What about the flip side here, too? You go in headhunting for a vehicle. Maybe we don't find the exact vehicle we want on the lot.
That's something that is a challenge, but also fun to do. And luckily, we have customers that have patience, especially when they start looking for something unique. I mean, I got one guy looking for a Toyota Tundra, and he wants the one before they went to the V6 turbos, and he wants a 1790 volt 4 edition. So that's even rarer. But we're trying to find him what he wants, and he's given, you know, given us his patience and given us time to get it, and we'll find it, and we'll have the right vehicle and everything.
Now, I've seen you in action do that for me. So if people want to get with you on this or checking out the inventory on the lot, how do they find you?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068, or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Hey, thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
There goes David McCrary at LCM Motorcars. Let's grab some text here. And by the way, April Marie Fogle joins us about 10 minutes, 15 minutes from now. Also, Admiral Kent Davis joins us in hour number two of the show. All right, to the text line here, unnamed texter. Unnamed texter says here, you could tell the poor guy, meaning Trump, needed some sleep so badly. They're 8 hours ahead of us. You know how you get when you've been up for 24 hours. This guy's a beast. I'm proud of us today. B-Dark says the only lifetime peace we need to worry about is USA. God will handle Israel. Maximus, I can't wait to hear the Democrats argue and support terrorism and Hamas just because it's Donald Trump derangement syndrome. And I'm sure there's some corners out there where they are. I've heard maybe not a bullying praise, but not pushing back against it. You know, the left side talking heads have, at least for a second here, they're saying, hey, well, it's probably a good thing. Yeah, I think it is a good thing. Keith says, I got a feeling it would be very bad for Gaza if Hamas went back, only kept them restrained at all. I got a feeling it would be very bad for Gaza if Hamas went back, the only kept them restrained at all was the hostages and got them back. That changed everything. You know, Keith, I said that last week, and we got to watch what Israel does here, because the leverage Hamas had is gone, right, with the hostages. And let's talk about that for a second, too. Hostages being returned here, plus the bodies of hostages returned. I think they brought them to, interesting to figure out where they had them, how close they had them hidden, because they took them to like some Red Cross stations inside Gaza, and then from there across the border into Israel. 737 days of captivity on this. And you got to think those hostages being taken to hospitals, seeing family, but taken to hospitals, physical ailments from being, I'm sure, starved to death. and psychological, I can't imagine. Can't imagine what those hostages went through. On the same side, flip side, I think 2,000 Palestinians would be released back into the mix. And, you know, I saw this story, and I'm really happy that we're in a situation where there's a chance for peace there. And I could be just cynical from my years, but I'm not. I'm going to be positive here. But I am going to be frank. A story, now this is in the Times of Israel, but I saw it a couple other places. Says Hamas reappears on Gaza's streets. Said masked men, some in uniform but most in civilian clothes, have been seen out and about on Gaza's streets in recent days, some handing out sweets, others simply standing guard. To this effect, Hamas-linked media, less than 24 hours after the ceasefire took effect on Friday, has been accompanied by announcements from Hamas's police and interior ministry claiming security forces had redeployed across the strip. I heard as many, one of the sources said there's as many as like 7,000 that showed back up. It's also said over the weekend, Gaza Network circulated footage of an armed masked man shooting a resident in the leg, a practice Hamas employed throughout the war against suspected collaborators with Israel or those accused of stealing humanitarian aid. Didn't Hamas steal the aid as well? So are they going in there to settle scores with people they thought collaborated with Israel? But this is, and like I said, great thing. I played the clip. Trump's still talking about it, I think, after the signatures went there at Sharm el-Sheikh, which sounds like Carmel Sheikh to me, but Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt, at this peace brokerage signing. But you got the ceasefire deal, you got the peace. I don't know still who's going to run Gaza. Is it going to be Palestinian Authority? Is it going to be Hamas? You know, we had the story from last week, just U.S. troops are going to Israel, right? They're going to be there in a limited role implementing the Gaza ceasefire. Remember, I've worried the whole time about U.S. troops in place there. I think 200 are supposed to be monitoring the peace deal between Hamas and Israel. But you know, Israel at one point said they were going to run Gaza. Remember, they were going to be there. And then they backed off of that. So if it goes right back to having Hamas running things, will anything change? You might have brokered a deal. And Hamas seems to be split in things I've read and listened to between like the management and then the workers, right? So management might sign the deal, but the military portion may take back over here. Like I said, I hope this does not happen. I hope it does stick. This could be an amazing thing. But will the coalition of nations, or however you want to look at this, make it so Hamas can't take back over? Because if so, I mean, we're back to square one. Now, I do worry about the Hamas, reasserting itself in Gaza, going to settle old scores there. I mean, this is the Times of Israel story. Okay, so know where it comes from, but it has been reported several other places that Hamas, their police force, has been on patrol over the last few days, I guess since the ceasefire late last week. And they say Gaza, municipalities in Gaza are still formally under Hamas control. So they're still the government authority there. Now, what you could probably expect, I imagine, if there's other groups of Palestinians that disagree with Hamas, maybe there's going to be some infighting and civil war. I don't know. But the fact that, you know, the second the ceasefire goes, they're like, hey, we're back. And they're back on the streets there in Gaza. So just something to watch. But yeah, thank goodness a peace deal has been signed, and maybe it has enough traction here that the people, Palestinians there, will say, you know what, let's go with somebody else. Let's not go with Hamas in this case. All right, grab a few texts here. Let's see this from... C.B. Carl said, Sean, I thought I would see a new Bayway before I saw peace in the Middle East. Yep, there you go. And we'll, like I said, I pray. C.B. Carl, I mean, you could come on here and be cynical, and I see the stories, but I really, you know, I'm going to be aware, going to be a reasoned thinker. At the same time, I'm going to be positive, because this would be, imagine what it would be like not to have a news cycle with news from the Middle East that involves violence. Supermom says Hamas is literally killing the Palestinians now. Palestinians are accused of being in cahoots with Israel. Yeah, I mean, they're shooting. You saw the video, right? Or they were talking about shooting the guy in the leg. said, how is Hamas getting ammo? That's my question. Israel's accused of blocking aid, but somehow ammo gets in. It does indeed. Will there be like score settling time, and then is Hamas going to try to hold on to power so the Palestinian Authority doesn't get it? There are a lot of questions like that, but for right now, it is a good thing with a peace signed. We'll see if it stays out there. B-Dark says, I wonder what waterfront property is going for in Gaza right now. Well, it's time to buy early. You can go in there, B-Dark, you can gentrify Gaza. April Marie Fogel joins us in just minutes, right after the news. Hey, it's Sean Sullivan. Join Mike Ward and me every Saturday morning at 7 for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, bringing you inshore, offshore, and freshwater fishing reports from some of the area's best guides, plus hunting talk, conservation news, habitat management, and the latest in state and federal regulations. So join the conversation Saturday mornings at 7. Plus, you can listen after the hunt or fishing trip with our podcast on FMTalk1065.com. It's FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, outdoors for South Alabama by people that hunt and fish right here in South Alabama.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. April Marie Fogel joins us just a second. Right now, my buddy Blaine Price at Paris Tractor, check it in. Y'all listen to this. Pay attention. Blaine's got looking for a tractor, looking for implements, looking for a deal. Blaine, lay it on him.
That's right, Sean. Right now on our compact tractors, buy a compact tractor with at least two implements. It can be any two implements we have. We're going to throw in a 7x20 trailer for free to form up that package for you. Kubota's still offering those low-interest 0% financing options on all of our equipment, not just the compact tractors, but the zero-turns, the RTV side-by-sides, even the construction equipment, the skid steers and the mini excavators. So take advantage of that deal and that package, especially this time of the year. A lot of people go into the hunting camp planting food plots.
I mean, this is awesome. Get it all put together, back up to it, and take it on with you when you go this weekend. Also, steel handhelds. I mean, I don't know if they have to expand or move Blaine out of his office or something, but y'all got steel handhelds. It's 25% of the store. You got a great selection.
We do. We got a big selection of steel handhelds. Not just the gas power, but the electric, the battery operated have really been a big deal. A lot of guys are using these little handheld chainsaws that are battery powered to limb limbs around their tree stands and stuff. So that's something big right now. But we got a full selection on all steel. So come by, see us, not just for the chainsaws, but we got weed eaters, sprayers, Just about anything steel makes, we've got it right now in stock.
All right. Tell them how to find you.
We're right here at Paris Tractor in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturdays, 8 till noon. You can give us a call at 251-947-4171 and visit us online at paristractor.com.
Hey, thank you, Blaine.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. There goes Blaine. And without further ado, guest host and residence at FM Talk 106.5, star of the radio and of print, and a pickup driving, four-wheeler toting mama, it's April Marie Fogel joining us now. Hey.
Hi, great to be here.
Good to have you here. And also, speaking of guest residence, coming up here over the next little while, April Marie's going to be hosting some of these shows here for me next week. So prepare yourself, April Marie, for this audience.
I'm as ready as I'm going to get. I love your listeners and the fun we have on the text lines. It's always a good time.
You texted me this morning and said, are we going to talk about Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day today? And you know, that's one that just, it's a burr under my saddle. It's like when MLK Day and Robert E. Lee's birthday are on the same day. It's, I see what you're doing here. You know, don't. Let's have a separate, you know what, we got 365 days a year. Find another day, because I think Columbus Day is a good thing. I think celebrating Indigenous people, whether we're talking about the whole nation, we're talking about Alabama with Muscogee Creeks and Cherokees and Choctaw and Coasatis and Alabama and all, you know, just to say, oh, it's the same day. I really don't like when that happens in our state.
You know, I have a visceral, very negative emotion reaction to this. I realized, because the kids have today off from school, but when I went to double-check my son's playtime, I realized, he has a play later this week. I went to see what time his performance was. I realized that they called it Indigenous People Day. They were like, remember, no school Monday for Indigenous People Day. And it's a blood-boiling, irrational, please stop doing this kind of thing. And it reminds me, you know, I need to be homeschooling all three, not just one, because my kids are in this disgustingly woke nonsense.
Would it bother, here's where I come from on it. Would it bother you if, okay, today is Columbus Day, and then Thursday or something like that is Indigenous Peoples Day? Would you have a problem with that celebration?
Here's the thing is we don't actually celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day because the people who made this holiday, air quotes, made this holiday, did it because they wanted to cancel Columbus. And so part of
but the
is
same
like, no,
thing
what
I'm saying is the same thing is true here in Alabama. You have MLK Day and we're like, oh yeah, and we're gonna have Robert E. Lee's birthday on the same day. You're trying to get both of them are diminished because of this.
It's kind of a ridiculous, petty thing. And it's like, I'm going to show you who I am by not celebrating what you're celebrating or not taking the time to honor who you're trying mm-hmm. to honor. And I think that's, you know, I think it's silly and petty. And if they moved it to the day, it would be like, well, whatever. It's not like I'm going to take time out of my day to talk to my kids about Indigenous Peoples Day. Except to maybe talk to them about, you know, what was happening in the United States before the people came over and started the colonies, right? Like this idea, this rewriting of history of we came in and we were these violent, horrific, you know, settling whatever the leftists want to claim now. You're like, what was happening before we got here? Can we talk about what the tribes were doing to one another? I think those are lessons more people could learn here.
And I'm very interested in this. I'm very interested in Native Americans. I mean, look at the bookshelves in my house. But at the same time, this two-dimensional Native American drives me crazy. Like you said, there's a lot of good things. A lot of bad. They're just people. The Europeans were people.
They're just people.
The Native Americans were just people. They had different culture, but they were just doing their thing. And the idea that they were like something from a Disney movie. No, they were people. They were, would fight over resources. They would move territories. Some got a horse. This other group didn't get a horse. They moved through. They're just being people.
They weren't all just singing into the wind and commuting with animals. And they're like Brother Bear and Pocahontas told us they were.
No. Can you imagine they were human beings that had human being traits, even though they were on another continent? They still, you know.
Right. And have you read Frontiersman, The Frontiersman yet? Because if not, I highly, highly, highly want to recommend it to you.
I have not.
Amazing. There's a series, and it's Alan Eckhart. And I'm on the second one. The first one is one of those where you look at it and you're like, I'm never going to finish this book because it's ginormous. But then once you start it, you can't stop it because it's based on actual real life people. And then it took me forever to get through it because I'd stop and I'd be like, there's no way that happened. There's no way that person exists. There's no way that battle happened. This can't be true. But it's all based on documented real things. And you're like, oh, no, that really was happening. That really did. And so, but it's
well, I got to read it because I just looked it up. And I have people who listen to the show for a long time know I have a bit of a Daniel Boone obsession. And then knowing that some of the other names in here, George Rogers Clark. So I know about these. I have not read this book, but this subject matter is something that I read about a good bit. So.
I will absolutely read it with you. It's amazing. It's about real life people, their actual, you know, the good, bad, the ugly, the terrifying things they went through. But it really paints a picture, and I'm on the second one now, and where the second one picks up is where we're Native Americans and we're trying to decide who to ally with, right?
Yep.
Like, are you allying?
And that's fascinating too. That whole history is fascinating. Like they'd say, okay, well, you know, they'd be like, well, the French expanded all this distance, but the French, you know, didn't come to stay. The French came for, you know, their trade goods. And so a lot of tribes are like, cool, yeah, you're coming for trade goods. You'll hang out. Maybe one or two of y'all will stick around, be, you know, part of this tribe or that tribe. That's cool. Then you had next waves and they're like, yeah, but we're also going to stay. Okay. Right. Well, I didn't like that. You know, that tribe's like, yeah, I don't like that as much as the French that just, you know, trade some stuff and get out of here. So, and then further generate. It's fascinating. And this idea that
absolutely fascinating.
That people are, and this idea that, and we'll do more of this in the future, and I will read this as well, but that, yeah, that, you know, the indigenous people, Native Americans here, were some kind of two-dimensional human and not just human beings as well. I take umbrage with that.
And you really forget that the tribes themselves, that the tribes themselves, there were tribes that were, you know, peaceful, just wanted to live their lives. They're gonna farm, they're gonna build, they're gonna whatever. They may or may not even want to expand. And then you had tribes who are like, yeah, we're gonna take over. And that's kind of how the world works. How
like human beings? Yeah,
human beings work, right?
Like, imagine that.
Like, I'm content to live here and do this and raise my family and be cool. And some are like, nope, I'm going to venture out. And then we're going to see this next tribe. We're going to see that they're not fighting people. They don't have any weapons. And we're going to take over them. And we're going to take their women. And we're going to take their goods. Mm-hmm. And that is a part of it that I feel like this new age, this woke society wants to pretend it was all, you know, everybody singing Kumbaya and hanging out and sharing meals. And it wasn't. And there was a lot of violence towards those the frontiersmen who were exploring.
Sure. They're doing the same thing they've been doing, just, and the Europeans have been doing that back in Europe, and I guess this idea that people are, like, this one group of people didn't act in, right, you take humans on some island that has not experienced, you know, any kind of contact, like that one down near the Seychelles or something. They're still doing human stuff. They're still doing the same things that are going on in modern, you know, planet. They're still there's war, there's love, there's all the same things.
Right. And I think that we, like you said, there's a certain number of Americans who just want to pretend, you know, the big bad evil Europeans came and took over. And you're like, okay, and how does growth and expansion work all throughout the world, all throughout world history? Because there's this naivety that, oh, it didn't have to happen. Well, that's what happens. Like, look at all of the settled world. You know, there are still places where you'll have this in other countries. We don't so much have, you know, Alabama deciding, okay, we're going to go take over Massachusetts, or we want some water, we're going to go take over Florida. We don't do that here. But there are still places where they're doing that.
Yeah, human beings and resources. It's a story as old as time. All right, April Marie, I've got to ask you one of your stories here. Just walk me through it over at 1819 News. I saw the headline. I'm trying to get my mind around this. Federal judge rules in favor of Alabama plaintiffs challenging ATF rule defining who qualifies as a firearms dealer. Is this like people having an FFL, or what is this? What happened?
So if you recall, and by the way, I love it when we talk the Second Amendment. If you'll recall that the Biden administration made a rule, right? They went through the rulemaking process, and there, what they said was, if you are engaged in exchanging firearms, and you're getting profit, they made it overly broad, is the general sense. Then you have to go through the federal firearm laws apply for you. And so these two gentlemen in Alabama, they're just outside of Talladega, they joined forces with the NRA to say, look, and I know a lot of men who do this, by the way, and I can imagine all of the firearms my father had, he did this, which is you go down to your hunt club, and some years you maybe want one particular gun you want to try out, or somebody's there and you're exchanging and you're selling, you're maybe selling some of your firearms to be able to buy a different firearm. Mm-hmm. The question is, did the ATF make this illegal? Was their rule overly broad over who could sell and who was profiting from? Because if you're selling five firearms for the intention of making a profit so that you can buy whatever else it is you want to buy, is that now against the law? And so the good news is, just about a week and a half ago, a federal judge held that the definition of engaged in business and dealing of firearms was too broad the way that the federal government wrote it. And so it looks like they're going to do away with this rule, this Biden-era rule, and give people the opportunity to continue to, you know, to manage their own firearms.
So, okay. So if I can... I can go and do a personal deal between, like, I want to sell these two rifles and I'm going to buy another rifle or something like that, even though I don't have an FFL.
Right. And so what they were trying to say is you need one, right? They were trying to say that you are engaged in business and dealing in firearms, which if you're a dealer, you need all this federal paperwork and there's all these things to it. If you are regularly trading firearms, and it was just overly broad. The definitions were overly broad. And thankfully, these two men stepped up, the NRA stepped up to help them, and they fought it and they won. And so now there is still more to the case in terms of the rule isn't absolutely gone yet, but I believe it will be. And I really think this is a big victory that we just haven't talked enough about.
All right. Let's talk about this. People want to read more. Go to 1819 News for this. They can actually find your stories directly by going to the search feature.
Yeah. So right now, my current trending story is about Auburn's College of Architecture being all sorts of having all sorts of DEI woke stuff. You click that, click my name, and you'll find all my stories, including the Second Amendment ones.
Good stuff. Looking forward to you hosting next week.
Okay, you go get that book.
Okay, I promise
you won't regret it.
I'm about to click order. Thank you. There goes April Marie, and we'll be right back.